I say what? Ho, this is Brian. Call me In the Mood for a Melody Gardener. Coming to you from the Devil's Hole, a.k.a. Ramble on Towers Dungeon Studio in scenic Hespler, Ontario. And you are listening to Ramble on Radio, episode 115. Ramble on Radio is the only Led Zeppelin podcast on this or any of the known internets. Be sure to go to rambleonradio.com for all your Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I might mention during the show. You can subscribe to Ramble on Radio through iTunes. If you're on iTunes, you go to iTunes, you're downloading... who knows what you might download at iTunes. There's not much there, I gather. But you're in there, you're downloading. Don't forget, pop over to Ramble on Radio, do a quick search. It shows up in the podcast, and leave a review. And it helps Ramble on Radio, or iTunes kind of uses those reviews as the number of reviews as one form of filing you. So that it puts it higher up in the search market, that sort of thing. You can check us out at Podbean at I Am Brian Dammit. You can listen on Spreaker, Spreaker.com. And be sure to follow Ramble on Radio on Spreaker. Also, check us out at Ramble on Radio on YouTube. Occasionally, I post a video of the podcast. I think I did the Christmas one. I think it's up. I think I posted it. Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. And also, follow on Facebook, Google+, and at Ramble on Blog on Twitter. And we're going to discuss something that came up on Facebook this week. So this is why you'd be on Facebook stuff. Somebody commented on something, asked a question, and I thought, that's an excellent, excellent topic. I'm going to go over and I'm going to discuss it a bit myself. So let's check out Ramble on Radio on Facebook. If you're on Facebook and you find Ramble on Radio, you do have to request to join. Unfortunately, there's spammers get into these things, and you end up with pornography being sent to everybody if you're not a little bit careful. So all I really do, if you ask to join Ramble on Radio, if you join Facebook today and you have three friends and a picture of your 16-year-old daughter, I'm not going to accept you. I apologize in advance. But if you've got a history on Facebook, and that's all I'm looking at, I'm going through, if it's a history on Facebook, I'm not going to check your posts and make sure you don't like Donald Trump or make sure you do like Donald Trump or anything like that. I don't care about any of that stuff, to be honest. I'm not checking to make sure you're not also a Duran Duran fan. Although if I stumble across that, there could be trouble. but you know what I mean. I will check to make sure you have a history on Facebook before I accept it, just to try to keep the spammers out. Okay, so the intro was Fanfare for the Common Man. That was, I have it scribbled down here, Keith Emerson, Chris Squire, Alan White, and Simon Kirk. Emerson on keyboards, Squire on bass. I believe Simon Kirk of Bad Company, of course, is the drums, and I believe Alan White plays the timpani. Alan White is Yes's drummer. Chris Squire is from Yes, and of course Keith Emerson from Emerson, Lake & Palmer passed away this past Friday. Quick Keith Emerson story. I posted on Dave Lewis has been doing a lot. He's a big Keith Emerson fan, I guess, and he's been posting a lot of videos and stuff. And I posted and asked, kind of said, wasn't there one point talk that he may have joined Led Zeppelin? And we're talking at the beginning when Jimmy was putting the band together. And he says, yeah, he thought so. So I went looking for it, and I can only find one reference to it. This comes from, let me go over, Barney Hoskins, Led Zeppelin, An Oral History. Oral History of the World's Greatest Rock and Roll Band by Barney Hoskins. And I reviewed this book. I'm gonna have two to do now. I'm gonna have two things to post in the next week. Barney with an E, by the way, in case you're curious. No, it doesn't say anything. I did. Anyway, I'm not going to piddle around with this. But let's see if I can find it real quickly. Somewhere along the line, I have reviewed Barney Hoskins' book. No, Sandman's Eyes. It's got to go back to end of 2011, maybe? Anyway. Don't have it on here. I apologize for the delay here. I was really intending not to do this sort of thing. But yes, in a previous podcast, somewhere along the line, we did have Barney Hoskins' book reviewed. It got reviewed here and talked about it quite a bit, I believe. Kind of weird that I can't find it, though, on a search, isn't it? Okay. Anyway, so this comes from Barney Hoskins, but it's the only reference I can find to this, by the way. This is the only reference. And the oral history, it's different people telling the story, right? So, and he just kind of presents it as is, as it were, I suppose. And this is the quote from Alan Callan. Alan Callan was... here we go. President Swan Song, UK, from 77 to 79. And he says, and I just closed the book instead of doing what I'm supposed to do. That's not preferable, is it? And if you're reading along with your own book, page 207 of 984 is what I got. I don't know. That's on my iPod. At the beginning, they were going to use Keith Emerson as a keyboard player, and Jonesy said, no, I'll play keyboards. So the other said, in that case, you'll have to play every other instrument, too. I think he even learned the violin, is what Alan Callan says. I never heard, I don't recall ever seeing Jonesy play violin. And it's, so that is the only reference I can find to Keith Emerson actually joining Led Zeppelin in the early years, as in before they recorded the first album. It's by somebody who wasn't there at the time. So maybe that's worth ignoring or taking with a very big grain of salt. There is other... Every once in a while, Emerson, Lake and Palmer or Keith Emerson comes up in the Zeppelin legacy. There is stories that Peter Grant was going to... was going to manage Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. In fact, it was reported at some point in the... I did find one reference in one of my books to a story where Peter Grant got quite upset. There was a report that the Zeppelin were splitting up in 75 while they were off recording Physical Graffiti. The reports were that they weren't recording, they were splitting up, and Peter Grant was going to take on Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. There was stuff like that going on, so... they pop up occasionally in the story. There's another story in one of the other books. The Mick Wall book about Led Zeppelin renting studio space or rehearsal space from Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. So there is a connection between them. Of course, that was Fanfare for the Common Man opened the 2007 Alma Erdogan tribute concert in which Led Zeppelin reunited. That's what you heard in the intro. Fanfare for the Common Man. Keith Emerson, Chris Squire, both sadly who've passed away in the last 3-4 months. I think Chris Squire was November, December. And Simon Kirk and Alan White opened the show with Fanfare for the Common Man. If you were there, that was it. That's the only time I ever saw Keith Emerson. Okay, so some business to deal with. In the last one, I talked about the Firm, and I was going over the track list of their albums. I have the albums here, you can hear them. And I had some extra stuff thrown into, and I kind of mentioned there was something funny about it, but anyway. I had kind of, maybe they had run out of stuff and whatnot. City Sirens was one of them. There was a oddball version of Radioactive. And I forget there was something else in there. And Wyatt emailed me and said, where'd you get this? Basically, no, this is the tracks. And so I went to my albums. I went, well, where did I get that? And it's what I have in my iTunes library. So I went to my albums, and sure enough, I don't have the extra songs. And I don't know why. It's a live version of City Sirens. Not a live version of Radioactive. It's kind of an odd shoot off of Radioactive. And this is from Mean Business. And it was a live version of... I apologize, I forget what the other song is, and it's irrelevant, because it's not there. So I've been looking around, because what I don't tend to just, if I have the album, if I have the CD, I'll throw the CD in my computer and make a, if I have the album, I'll tend to make MP3 copies off my property, not just download it randomly, because you get weird stuff when you do that, amongst other things. And this apparently is a weird thing I've dug up somewhere. And I wonder, but it's a really good quality. It's not bootleg quality stuff. So I just wonder if at some point they released these as a bonus material. And I wondered if, maybe if anybody out there has the CDs. I wondered if the original CD had, because back in 1986 when this was released, I think 86 is my year, CDs were fairly new, and for those who don't remember, who were too young for this, what they would do is they'd put it out as an album. The album was still the album. People looked at the vinyl, considered music like vinyl, but the record companies were pushing CDs, so they would add an extra song or two or three onto the CD, the bonus material. Number of examples of this. One that sticks out to me is Bob Seger's Like a Rock. It was 1984 or 5. And he released the song American Storm as a single, 45 single. And often the B-side of a single would be something different, something not off the album. Especially in this era, they were doing this a little more. So they would have a few extra songs in the studio, and it would get stuck on the B-side. Bruce Springsteen's Dancing in the Dark, the B-side was Pink Cadillac, which was never on the album. The same goes for the B-side of American Storm was... a live version of Creedence Clearwater Revival's Fortunate Son. And they put that on the CD. It's not on the album, it's on the CD. So they did that sort of thing. They threw bonus tracks on to try and get you to buy the CD. In some cases, there was no other way to get the track. I wonder if they were bonus songs they stuck on the end of the album. But that's just mere real speculation on my part. I have no idea where I got those bonus songs. I have no idea. And what I'll do is, you know, I kind of keep my eye open for the CD of Mean Business nowadays and see if I can find a copy with those extras and see what it is. But I have no idea where I got those extra songs, why they're on there. But anyway, so here is the actual albums. You know these buggers, they didn't put it necessarily on the back of the album in order. I think they did on Mean Business, maybe. But I'm going to have to pull out the record just to be sure. So I apologize for this. So here we go. Side one, Fortune Hunter, Cadillac, All the King's Horses, and Live in Peace. Side B, Tear Down the Walls, Dreaming, Free to Live, and Spirit of Love. That's what's actually on Mean Business. That's the track listing. So... thanks to Wyatt anyway for pointing out that was, and I knew there was something strange about it. I was kind of mumbling over it and saying, what's, you know, I'm not sure why these songs are there. They seemed an odd addition to the album to me, and that's because they are an odd addition. Also got the vinyl of the first album, and just to make sure, because I didn't have them with me at the time last time. So instead of fooling around, I'll just read it right off the record again. I don't want any of my glasses closer. Closer, Make or Break. Oh my God. Closer, Make or Break, Together, and Radioactive. Is side one. Side two. You've lost that loving feeling. Money can't buy. Satisfaction guaranteed. And Midnight Moonlight. So that's the firm's first album. There you go. So I just wanted to set the record straight on that and kind of explain where that came from in case you were looking, scratching your head, going, what the hell? As Wyatt was. And I didn't end up emailing Wyatt back. Mostly because every time I thought of it, I wasn't in front of my computer. So I wanted to make sure I mentioned that to clear that air and make sure, just make sure everybody understands that. All right. A couple of things, and I'm going to do something very different today. Oh, let's do our history. And it's been a few weeks since I did the last one. So we got a fair bit of history to cover, but somewhat important stuff in there. So and probably some not important stuff. But 24th of February, 1975, Physical Graffiti released in the UK. February 1971, a show from the Paris Theater in Paris was broadcast. 26, 1965, Jimmy Page releases the single She Just Satisfies, Keep On Moving. And that's an interesting tidbit because Jimmy Page is releasing a new single. She Just Satisfies. Excuse me while I do this. Get the right date right. Black Friday edition of Record Store Day. Did I ask for that? I hate it when your computer makes decisions for you and it's way off base. Like, it thinks I'm searching Facebook for Record Store Day. And I probably am. But anyway. So, he's re-releasing She Just Satisfies, the single She Just Satisfies for Record Store Day, April 16th. Which is in about 4 weeks, 33 days, 2 hours. So yeah, 4 weeks, 4.5 weeks is Record Store Day. And Jimmy Page is re-releasing She Just Satisfies, definitely in the UK, not positive it's released in Canada or the States. However, Amazon.com has it listed in the US. Amazon.com has it listed. And you can buy it, pre-order it, and I have done so. So, that's available, and that's out there, and you can most certainly get it. And so, that'll be cool. That'll be a nice kind of cool thing. I've wanted Jimmy Page and Led Zeppelin to do some Record Store Days stuff, and this is kind of a neat one. Be nice if he did some new stuff, but I don't have a copy. I've heard this song. I do not have a copy of it. And it's not a great song. It's not Page yet. It's, you know, it's 1965. He's a kid. He's stretchy. He's trying stuff out. And I believe he sings on it, which may be the most interesting thing about it. But, yeah, there you go. Okay, February 26, 1995. Page and Plant kick off the Page and Plant kick off the U.S. tour. February 28, 1970, Led Zeppelin appeared in Copenhagen as The Knobs. And you will remember last year at some point, I believe we did this as Claude Knob Radio in honor of Claude Knobs, who passed away. Have it. There you go. No, just... funny, you know, I thought I made a list of every episode and everything that's important that I might want to find, and here I've not been able to find something I'm looking for on the episode list. So apparently I failed in that task. Back to it. Back to the drawing board on my lists, I guess. Where are we? Okay, February 29, 1988. Leap year. This is another leap year, so we know. Let's see, 88, 92, 96, 2000, and then 2000, so there's been four, so that's seven. So 7 years ago, Robert Plant released Now and Zen, and if you go episode 41, December 2013, episode 41, I reviewed Now and Zen. Where's my cutoff line? I think it's, yeah, upload lines. So I will, in the next, probably midweek or something, I will upload episode 41. So you got a chance to hear it. Okay, May 3rd, 71, kickoff European tour in Copenhagen. May 5th, 73, the famous 56,800 people showed up at the Tampa show. May 7, 1974, and a lunch party for Swan Song, no big deal. Don't care about that. Don't care about that. How's that? We'll get rid of some of this stuff. May 9, 1998, Jimmy Page appears on Saturday Night Live with Sean Puffy Combs, and they do the theme from Godzilla. And May 11, 1974, the band meets Elvis after the show at the Los Angeles Forum. Talking about previous episodes, last year, Physical Graffiti was released, I mentioned, February 24, 75. So last year, we talked about, because it was the 40th anniversary of said album, we talked about Physical Graffiti for four, and also because they were doing the box set release, right? So we did the, talked about it for like four episodes. Episodes 86 to 89, and I believe they're up. I believe they are up. Yes, the upload line, my upload line starts at episode 65. Everything after 65 is up. So episodes 86 to 89 cover Physical Graffiti. All right. So Robert Plant, got a couple of Robert Plant things. He did a little television show called Stella. And I'm going to outro with his performance on Stella. But he comes on, he's at a funeral. Supposedly somebody roadied for Led Zeppelin back in the day. And he sings a song. And it's quite an uppity, it's quite an up-tempo, rocking, bluegrassy song. He sounds good in it too. And everybody's sitting there going, that's Robert. I didn't know Dad knew Robert Plant. And, that sort of thing. So you kind of, I'll let you hear that his part of it anyway. And that'll be on the outro. That'll be today's outro will be, and I'll re-mention that. I have to move it though. On my notes, I have it in the intro because I was going to intro with it, and then I found Fanfare of the Common Man, and went, oh, that's better. Well, good news, hockey fans. The Toronto Maple Leafs won a game. Beat the Detroit Red Wings 1-0. Just came up. That's worth celebrating here at Ramblin' Radio. Yeah, I know. People over, all these people in Europe going, what is he talking about? Who? The Toronto what? I'm trying to, okay, where was that? Okay. So, and furthermore, Robert Plant has been touring. He's been doing some shows, and I've gone over the set list of a few. I don't know if he did one in the last couple of days. I missed it if he did. And I'm gonna do something I've never done before in this show. I'm actually going to play some songs. So what I'm going to do, I got four songs picked, I think it was. Maybe it's three. It's three songs picked. I'm just going to play them for you. Oh, I might play half. I might play the whole thing. I mean, it kind of be, because I'll pop the headphones in, and I feel like I'm going to get, okay, I'm bored to listen to this. I'll fade it out on you. I don't know how it's going to work. I've never done this before on this particular podcast. And what we'll do is we'll talk about the shows. We'll talk about the songs that I'm playing. And I've just picked three that they're kind of songs he doesn't always play, that he's playing on this tour. He's got some new stuff going on in there. So I wanted to let you hear some of it. And I was going to just do a clip here and a clip there. I had so much stuff, as I say, I've moved intros around, I just have so many sound clips, I just thought, maybe it'd be better just to play it, and say, you know, maybe I'll play a minute and a half, maybe I'll just play the whole thing. Probably it depends if it's a 3-minute song or an 8-minute, so if it's an 8-minute song, you won't hear the whole thing, I think. But we'll get there, let me get there. So, he's played March 4th in the Okeechobee Festival in Sungrove, Florida. On the 6th, he played in St. Augustine, Florida. On the 7th, in Mobile, Alabama. On the 9th, in Jackson, Mississippi. And on the 10th, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And so we have this. I have set lists from three of the shows here. Start with St. Augustine on the sixth, the second show. Starts with the Lemon Song, goes to Rainbow, Black Dog, Turn It Up, Spoonful, Willie Dixon song, All the King's Horses, the Rain Song, No Place to Go, Dazed and Confused, Communication Breakdown, Little Maggie, Fixin' to Die, I Just Want to Make Love to You, Whole Lot of Love, Mona, and Encore, Rock and Roll. On the 7th, the next night in Mobile, Alabama, he opened with Dancing Days. Rainbow, Black Dog, Turn It Up, Spoonful, That's the Way. No Place to Go, the Howlin' Wolf cover. Communication Breakdown, Little Maggie, Fixin' to Die, and Whole Lot of Love. Encore was Poor Howard and Rock and Roll. And on the 10th, the last show I have, anyway, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Lemon Song, Rainbow, Black Dog, Turn It Up, Spoonful, Rain Song, No Place to Go, / Days of Confused. Summer's Almost Gone, Embrace Another Fall, Communication Breakdown, Little Maggie, Fixin' the White. Just Want to Make Love to You, In the Mood, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow, a Carole King cover, and Rock and Roll. And I thought that was interesting, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow. And he's changing stuff around. You can hear in that there's different songs in every show. Communication Breakdown, he's doing a little differently, and that's one of the ones I'm going to play you. But I'm going to play you a clip from a couple of years ago when the same band was doing Communication Breakdown. Maybe I'll start with that. So here's the clip, and it'll just be a small clip, of Communication Breakdown of Berlin in 2014. And it sounds like somebody online mentioned this too. It sounds just like Pat Benatar's Heartbreaker. And they said it, and then I went and listened to it, and I went, oh, God, yeah. That's exactly what that is. They have changed it up again for this tour, so that's why I wanted to do the Pat Benatar version of Communication Breakdown, and then I would do the Florida version from this year. This one is from St. Augustine, Florida on the 6th. So I'll play about 30 seconds of the first, and then I'll move on to the second. That's Communication Breakdown in St. Augustine, Florida, by Robert Plant and the Sensational Space Shifters. What would you say? Different. Look, here's the one thing we can all agree on. We're not all going to agree whether we like that or not. Some of you are going to love it. I didn't mind it. I didn't love it. You know, I'm a little intermediate, but I'll say this about it. You have to say this. The audience was loving it. That's not a controversial choice of song to play that way for the people who were there. And sometimes we sit and listen to this stuff, you know, after the fact. You put, it's not the same as when you're there. The energy is not the same. The visual aspect doesn't play as the same. And that's clearly the people were loving it. By the way, it's worth mentioning, this was an audience shot. These are all audience shot videos that I took the clips from that were on YouTube. That was not me singing along. I didn't leave the mic on and sing along with it. That was somebody in the audience. Just so you know, just in case you were wondering. So that was Communication Breakdown. You heard the 2 years ago they were doing it in the Pat Benatar Heartbreaker style. This time it was something a little different. That was very different. Very funky groove. Not a straight up punky groove like the original was, but kind of funkier. Different. Different. By God, some of you listening to that were going to go, "Are you kidding? That's awful." And probably some of you loved it, and I was somewhere in the middle. I kind of liked it. I would say closer to love than hate, but didn't love. But it was good. And like I say, boy, the people in the audience loving that, right? All right. So on, I gotta find my set lists here. On March 7 in Mobile, Alabama. They got a real treat. Robert Plant singing Dancing Days. And it's not a song he does a huge amount. I'm trying to think when... to be honest, I'm going through Setlist FM. And it lists Dancing Days as being played once in 2016. That was it. It was, in other words, this show. Now, I don't think that's true, but he doesn't play it often, is what you're... it's not a song he does a lot. And he didn't do it straight up again. Stuck with the kind of the group, but it's a little slower. And, let's listen to it, and then we'll have our comments on it. How's that? We'll do the commentaries right away.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, baby. I'm glad I didn't say anything kind of pre this song, because I had it on in the kitchen listening to it one day, and I go, well, okay, and I kind of, you know, as I was doing six other things tonight, I was pulling this down, but that's the first time I put headphones on, listen to it. Look, if I dropped $80 to go see Robert Plant, and he stepped on stage, did the wave, did the what little whatever, hi everybody, and then they broke into that and did that song, I'm turning to the guy beside me going, got my $80 worth. That's done. They opened the show with that. How's that? Talk about, hey, show's going downhill from here, guys. That was great. If you didn't enjoy that, if you weren't dancing along to that and you're at least kind of sort of in your seat, that you're listening to the wrong podcast. What can I tell you? Boring old farts has their own podcast over there somewhere. Like, that had a great groove. It was a little slower. It was slower. But they kept the lick, they kept the groove. And it had a great, it swung. Jesus, that swung. That was great. I'm really liking that. That was good. So hey, Robert, thumb up on that one. You should be doing that more. You know what would be cool? Because there has been some really good performances over the last year, since the Sensational Spaceshifters. By the way, there's an interview released today in which he says they're as they tour, they're kind of writing music. So there's more to come from them, I guess, was the implication. Although we heard that about Band of Joy, too, right? And then it just dropped dead. Speaking of which, Buddy Miller, and I've been trying to get my hands on it, Buddy Miller has an album out, I think, or maybe it's coming out. So it would be worth having a look and listen to what Buddy Miller's up to these days as Robert Plant fans, but that's not what we're talking about right now. So yeah, it'd be cool if he did a live album of all those kinds of things he threw in once in a while, like that. That was good. I enjoyed that a lot. Okay, that's podcast. We should end it right there, shouldn't we? Ooh, that's done. I have one more, though, and I'm not so sure how this one's going to... Again, had it on, kind of listened to it a bit. Didn't listen to the whole thing, so this will be the first time I listened to the whole thing, but my recollection is it's a little off the beaten path-ish version. But we'll let it speak for itself. How's that? Isn't that not a better idea? This is from the encore of March 10 in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Which, in other words, just the other day. The encore still had the Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow cover, the Carole King cover, which I kind of want to hear. I haven't heard that yet. And this was also In the Mood. In the Mood from his second solo album. Robert Plant on March 10 was In the Mood for Melody, and here it is. Thank you. And that's In the Mood. And yeah, I enjoyed that one too. That's a song that I've always enjoyed. That's a melody song anyway. And it's a song I've always thought was, I'm surprised he doesn't use it more, because I think it's a song that moves around well, that you can do different stuff. I'm surprised when I go to bars and you hear singers, you know, acoustic guitar guys, that one never comes out, or some band that has a couple of oddball instruments, that they don't pull that song out. I've told the story before. My daughter used to do a thing. She plays piano, and in high school, she used to do a thing with a guy who sang, and he kind of a Michael Bublé type voice, and they actually would do a Michael Bublé song. And they would say, "We need another song." And I always used to mention this one. You know, you could really just, the piano playing it off and a decent voice, that song would carry. They did a nice job of it. Now, I cut it off a little bit early there. It's just kind of a minute of outro. I think it's a minute of outro. I may have missed something. I don't know. I think I did the same to Communication Breakdown, but it was down to the last 20 seconds, and I think it was just, give it a fade. There's about a minute left in that when I outroed it. If you know the particular version and I missed something phenomenal, it's not because I wasn't enjoying it, but it was 4 minutes long. The podcast was getting long. And I think it was just all outro. But yeah, that was pretty good. It's a little different. I like the banjo bit in there. I'm going to have to go get my thermometer. What the hell is wrong with me? I'm liking the Robert Plant stuff here. What the hell is going on? Yeah, you know, he changed that stuff around without fundamentally changing the feel of the song, or the song itself. And that's kind of the trick to me, is sometimes he completely changes the song. That's not the same song. I don't give a shit what you call it. It's not the same song. I don't care what word you sing. It's not Black Dog. But that is, you know, that was changing it around. Dancing Days was changed around. Communication Breakdown even was recognizable as Communication Breakdown, yet very different. So those are kind of, yeah, I liked all three. Less than that's a Communication Breakdown maybe, but I could see how some would like it, and I could see how some would really hate it. But yeah, that was kind of cool. So, I don't do this very often. I'm going to try and throw a few more stuff like this in. And I actually think I'm going to do a bootleg episode in the near future. So, maybe it's worth saying that now. You know, email me, get on Facebook, get on Twitter. If you think that's a really bad idea, I would never listen to you if you just played bootlegs. You know, maybe like an hour and 10 minutes of five or six or whatever cuts from some of what I think is the most important bootlegs, maybe not even the best ones. Or pick an era, a song from every era. Something like that might be worth discussing the bootlegs. Let me know what you think of that idea, because I'm playing with it. And see how this one works out. Let me know what you thought of that, hearing a couple of the songs. I don't like to play the songs because there's copyright issues, but when you're playing the bootleg songs, the copyright issues aren't quite as in play. It's not nearly as bad. I'm not sure why, but I don't see. So anyway, this comes to that. I want to get through this quick. I was hoping to have a little more time, but I want to get through this reasonably quick. Keith, my apologies, Keith, if I get this wrong, Wierworka, Wierworka, Keith, commented on the Facebook page, said, so Jimmy Page is recording an album and is planning on touring. In brackets, not bad for 72 years old. He's being very secretive who's going to play with him. My question, he's a singer, bass player, drummer, keyboard player, and I heard rumors another guitar player. If you had to guess, who do you think he's going to ask to go on tour with him? Now, I made a quick comment, and then Keith came back with this. Brian, I appreciate your response. I heard that Keith Richards told Page to get another guitar player to make his tour easier. I can see him using different singers, which is one, because I mentioned that I've long said if he's going to do something, I think he should take out a couple of singers, not just one singer, and three very different singers. Um, So I thought this was worth talking about a bit. It was just a really neat question. So first part was, if he's recording, I don't think he needs another guitar. And Keith and I agreed on this. Another guitar player for touring, probably. I would definitely think a good idea. I mean, look, just because you bring a guitar player on tour doesn't mean he has to play every song. He can do half the songs, but to have another guy to kind of give some oomph to rock and roll, to give some oomph to some of the songs that just need that. You know, Song Remains the Same could use a second guy helping out and stuff like that. You could still do old school Stairway to Heaven with a double neck and not have to use the second guitar player. You can still do In My Time of Dying and not have to use the second guitar player. A second guitar player might be a good idea for a guy at his point in his time. It's been that many years since he's toured. Somebody who can pick up a little of his slack if necessary. And if not necessary, then it makes a fuller sound. I've also been a big proponent of a keyboard player if he tours. And again, doesn't have to play every song, but he play a lot of the songs. With the Black Crowes, they had two guitars and a keyboard player, and it sounds great. Page sounds great on that. And it gives Jimmy a chance to stop for 3 seconds before a solo. Doesn't have to come right in after a solo. It's just kind of a chance to get your bearings in a song sometimes. Might be a good idea. So who? I would have said as a keyboard player, I like Keith Emerson's, the idea of Keith Emerson. But that's not going to happen. Rick Wakeman is not going to happen because Rick Wakeman's not that kind of guy, I think. So, well, first questions first. Do you bring out John Paul Jones? Do you bring out Jason Bonham? The answer is, there's a couple of answers. I think no, first off. Second off, I think definitely, if yes, only one. Under no circumstances do you do both of them. Because then it becomes a Led Zeppelin reunion. And I actually think there's a chance he would take Jason Bonham with him. I don't really see John Paul Jones that working out that way. I don't think Jones wants to do a big long tour anyway. You know, he kind of seems to be happy doing a few shows, maybe a week here on a tour or something like that, but he doesn't want to back of a tour bus kind of crap. So I think Jason Bonham on drums, that's probably a 50-50. Yeah, that could be. Who else? Here's an interesting idea for a drummer, Zach Starkey, who now drums for The Who. But if they have downtime, he is very Keith Moonish. He was trained by Keith Moon. You'd think Ringo Starr's son would be trained by Ringo Starr, but he wasn't. Keith Moon is actually the guy who taught him how to drum, and he's very Keith Moonish. Which was kind of what Page was looking for when he found Bonham. So Zach Starkey, that would be an idea on drums. That said, though, there's a million guys out there now who are so pro. Guys you've never heard, guys I'd never heard of. Let me tell you a story. Richie Sambora if you follow along with Bon Jovi at all, Richie Sambora either quit in a huff or got booted out of Bon Jovi. And they brought in this other guitar player, and he's a local guy around here. And a guy I used to play in a band with a couple of years ago, around the time this happened, actually, at one time played in a band with him. Years going back into high school or just after high school. Then he moved to LA and became a session guy, and he's one of these hotshot session guys, and he goes out with like Madonna and stuff like that. But he's made a big career for himself in LA as a session guy. And, when Bon Jovi I think Richie Sambora was sick at one point, and they brought him out for a couple of shows. So when Richie Sambora quit or kicked out or whatever, this guy just jumped into the job. Boom, boom, boom. There's so many guys like that around. He could just jump into the gig. Oh, yeah, I can do it. You're looking for drummers. What about Anton Figg, who is David Letterman's drummer? But also, he's been out on tour with Joe Bonamassa. He also has a guy called Boogie Somebody who, you know, guys like that. Dime a dozen on every instrument right nowadays. Not like 1960 where you struggled, where you were wandering around trying to find some guy who was good enough. There's so many of them who are too good for the gig almost, you know? So, you know, who could drum? There's three ideas I just gave you. Anton Figg, Zach Starkey, Jason Bonham. Bass, I don't know. I have no idea who is and isn't around as bass players. And again, there's so many guys who could play bass. There's so many good bass players out there. He could go back to Charlie. What's his name from Page and Plant? He could go with... Yeah. Again, let's go to Letterman's band. Grab Will Lee. Who actually makes a chunk of money in a Beatles tribute band on top of being a top session guy, on top of being a Letterman's guy. But those guys will drop it for G.E. Smith, Saturday Night Live. G.E. Smith dropped everything for... and these are New York session guys, all of them. He dropped everything to go out with Roger Waters. I'm hearing booming and banging upstairs. Apologize. So, and what about G.E. Smith as the other guitar player? There you go. There's an idea. And that's just like, I'm just doing some New York session guys I know off the top of my head. You know how many New York session guys you've never heard of? And that's the problem with playing this game. Who will he take? You have no idea because there's... You have no idea. He likes to go with English musicians, however. So all those names I've mentioned, you have to bear in mind, he prefers the English musicians. Or he seems to, anyway. So, who's it? And I have no idea who's in England. I have no idea. So there, you know. But would he bring it? Yeah, I think a keyboard player, another guitar player is a good choice on tour. Certainly a bass player. And then vocals. What do you do on vocals? I think this is the most interesting question. You don't go out with a guy. You go out with a couple of guys. I've said this for so many years. You go out with a couple of people. Now, maybe grab a plantish singer. May I suggest Paul Sinclair from Get the Lead Out? Or since I don't want you to take him from Get the Lead Out because I want to be able to go see them myself. Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin experience, the singer. James Dillon. A friend of mine I love James. And he could do the gig. Boy, he could do the gig. And give him, you know, like a third of the songs or a quarter of the songs go to James Dillon. And he's going to belt out Communication Breakdown. And he's going to do, Babe, I'm going to Leave You. Like he does, Babe. No, he's not, actually. I've changed my mind on that. But I'll get there. You know, and he's going to be the guy who does Kashmir. And he's going to be the guy who does whatever. Whole Lot of Love. Right? And then a female singer. Just to change things up. Just to... Because people can't go... Oh, he's really just recreating Led Zeppelin if you have a female singer on stage with you. It no longer works that way. And she could do Babe, I'm Going to Leave You. That's why I said, not Babe, I'm Going to Leave You. Although James Dillon does a superb Babe. But you know, a female singer to carry some of those other solo songs that would work that way. And, you know, so a quarter of the songs, a third of the songs go to her. And then somebody who's kind of a little more mellow of a singer, a little more of a down style singer, something different. Maybe a cleaner singer. How's that sound? Like a Paul Rogers kind of singer. A guy who could do that sort of stuff with real credibility and do the non-Zeppelin stuff with credibility. So you get the Firm stuff and City Sirens. And then there'd be some instrumentals. And the Stairway, remember he did when he did his Outrider tour, he did Stairway instrumental, let the audience sing it. Leonard Skinner used to hang Ronnie Van Zant's hat on the microphone stand and during Freebird, and everybody sang it. He could do the same on Stairway to Heaven, hang a... What would Robert plan? Hang a turquoise bracelet on the microphone stand and... you know, kind of honor Robert Plant there. But, you know, so not every song needs to be sung. There's a few instrumental songs in his repertoire anyway. So, like I say, you know, 25% of the songs to each of the three, and the fourth 25% would be instrumental. That's what I would recommend for singers. And who would they be? Like I say, yeah, there's so many guys, so many Zeppelin tribute bands. There's lots of good guys out there. James Dillon would be an excellent choice. And if you're taking Jason Bonham, you know he's available. And Jason can recommend him. So that might even work. That might be a credible idea. Female singers, I've said for years, Joss Stone. I love Joss Stone, and I'd love to see her. She is maybe one of three or four people in the whole world who could, on stage, stand with Jimmy Page and take your eyeballs anyway. She just has so much stage presence. She burns up on stage if you've never seen her. And I'd be a big fan of that choice. And I don't have an idea for the third one. Maybe Paul Rodgers himself wants to come out for and do some songs. Maybe not. I don't have a good idea there. But there's guys out there. Again, there's so many guys out there. You know, Journey found a guy on YouTube. Go to YouTube. Find some singers, Jimmy. They're out there, believe me. But he'll have his own ideas, too. You know, he has guys he likes. You know, and you're thinking one of these really good singers or whatever. And, you know, he'll come at you with, Maggie Bell and that guy from The Pretty Things. You'd be standing going, oh, really? Is this our choice? And then it'll either work or not work. But he's, you know, you got to give him credit. He's a guy who... we'll take chances, as we heard tonight, does Robert Plant. Okay, we're over an hour, which I don't like to be. So we're going to wrap up. One last audio clip. Robert Plant on the television show Stella. I'm going to fade that out, and that will be the end of it. So thank you for listening to Ramble On Radio, episode 115. Check rambleonradio.com for notes on this week's podcast, Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I might mention in today's podcast. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google+, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. If you go to iTunes, pop over, for any reason whatsoever, pop over to Ramble On Radio, leave a review. Listen on Spreaker, Spreaker. Be sure to follow Ramble On Radio on Spreaker. And check it out at Ramble On Radio on YouTube. Thanks for listening to Ramble On Radio. Episode 115. And here is Robert Plant singing a tribute on the television show Stella.
An old mate of Daddy's, apparently, who wants to sing you a little song, so he keeps it short. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Rubber, you're on!
Bloody hell. That's Robert Plant.
This one's for you, Daddy. See you on the stairway.
I didn't know Daddy knew him.
He told me he roaded for them back in the day, but I took it with a pinch of salt. He even said he gave him the nickname. Do you
remember me? Robert Plant. I'm baby. Do you remember me? Just a little bit of sun, so longer. I'm waving your sun, to remember you by. Come on, baby, waving your sun, to remember you by. Where's the little sun, oh, to the longer. I saw Robert Plant with Led Zeppelin at Nebworth.
78.
And 79.
Aye, he's got his cock in gold.